Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of...
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
We're going to start slow, but we're always, always going to finish fast. No matter what the score was, we're going to finish hard. We're going to finish fast.
It's Football Sunday with Rashad Taylor and Joe Fisher.
Yeah, they had us the first half. I'm not going to lie. They had us. We weren't defeated, but they had us.
With just 1 hour until kickoff.
Regardless of the scoreboard, you're going to be successful because you put in all the time, all the effort, all the hard work, and you're going to go out with this win.
Joe has you covered like an all-pro safety.
Steps up. Throws.
Rashad is tackling topics like a blitzing linebacker.
Pressure drops. Parsons came flying through.
Football Sunday on the Odyssey app.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh, oh.
And 1080 The Fan.
I guess it's Football Sunday again, Rashad. Here on 1080 The Fan, Joe Fisher, Rashad Taylor. Here with you. I blame the producer. Whoever is the producer behind the scenes of this show, just...
I think that's you?
I mean, might be. Yeah. It might be. Sure. just laziness at this point. Just unacceptable. Unprofessional.
No, I get it. As I'm trying to adjust my microphone in
here. I'm hoping that everything goes off without a hitch today as well, because last week we got some new things happening with the buttons and the knobs and everything over here behind the glass. I wouldn't know because I'm not the producer for this show.
Well, the good thing is I can hear everything that was happening prior to the show starting today.
And you sound crispy clear at this point. Last week I was like, man, I feel like I can barely hear you. I hear the beautiful pipes of Rashad Taylor just coming through clear now.
You're welcome, people.
Oh, wow.
You know,
almost too much now. I'm just with your levels there.
For all of that, you know, today. But yeah, last week was a bit of a mystery as far as what the hell was happening here in the studio. Like, we had new toys in here all of a sudden. I couldn't hear anything. I thought it was maybe my headphones. I switched headphones. I thought it was maybe the mic that I was using, so I decided to switch mics. That didn't work. But, looks like we're sound as a pound right now.
And last week was in question. I mean, this morning was in question as well. I kept checking the forecast, every 15 minutes last night.
Yeah.
Because cool. There was the rumors of even more snow on the way. Luckily, that lasted for only a couple hours overnight, and then it turned to rain, and it was pretty easy getting in. But I was, Rashad, today was the first day I was back at the studio/office since Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah.
And I was surprised by how much snow was still, like, snow and ice was compacted on the streets around the studio and, like, in the parking lot and just in the northwest Slabtown area. I was shocked. I was like, okay, now I get why people are still, like, it was the whole week and no one go anywhere.
No, yeah, it's been a hell of a week. And hopefully everybody has, you know, had heat and power and been able to stay warm. You know, I know they've opened up some warming shelters, you know, around the city. The Lloyd Center, you know, opened up. I mean, there's nothing else inside the Lloyd Center, so why not open it up for, you know, for people that need a place to stay, you know, while it's freezing outside. But man, I saw that snow come down the first time on Wednesday, and I was at work and I was like, okay, I'm going home. And I was at work in North Portland. I live in Southeast Portland. So I was at work and I saw the snow come down. I was like, and my day's over. And so I'm talking to my supervisor, and I'm like, yo, like, I live deep. So I know, yeah, she lives kind of in the neighborhood, and I was like, yo, I live deep, so I better get out of here. And went left, and then I got the messages that school's going to be canceled. They're going to be letting our students out early. And so I was like, man, do I really want my son to be on the bus and potentially be there for a while because traffic's moving slow? No. So I went and picked him up from school. And Joe, within like 30 minutes of picking him up from school, the snow is everywhere. And then I'll go one further. We go to Fred Meyer and I lose my damn keys in the store.
What? How the hell does that happen?
How the hell does that happen? I still don't know. I still don't know where.
Now I'm curious as to where you found it, because it could tell a lot about where Rashad Taylor was shopping for and what's going on in his life.
Oh, man.
I hope it's not something boring, just like, oh, it's by the milk or
it's by the condoms. No, it was by the so honestly, I don't know.
I left him there at 2 a.m.
So initially I went there because, you know, I went to the store the day prior and not knowing that, okay, it would actually snow. So now I'm like, okay, we're probably going to be in the house for a couple days. So let's go get some food, some snacks, you know, some stuff like that. Just
somehow
to make sure.
My keys ended up in the lady lingerie. I have no idea.
I have no idea how they ended up over there. But I'm leaving and now I'm freaked out. So I get to the car.
That is a terrible feeling.
So my car is one of the, you know, like a push start, but you have to have a key fob
to be
somewhere
near it. Yeah.
So I'm pushing, like, why the hell isn't this working? Look in my pockets. I look in the snow because maybe I dropped it in the snow and I was having like a, you know, like a impromptu snowball fight with my son going in.
Oh, snow.
Yeah. And wasn't there. And so now I'm freaked out and everything. And luckily, some good Samaritan, shout out to whomever you are, they turned him into customer service. And there's a long ass line of customer service. And I'm like, man, I see the keys.
Good cover. Customer service. Yeah, hint. Yeah.
I see the keys on the counter. And I'm like, do I really have to wait in this long ass line to get these keys? So I bypass everybody. Excuse me, sir. Ma'am, can you hear me? Those keys. But it took a good 20 minutes to.
Hey, what the hell, buddy? Yeah. What are you doing?
Man, the way I was feeling, I was ready for all the smoke. Man, what's up, bro? Yeah, you'll be fine. You can make your return in a second. You know, so, but yeah, so that happened. But other than that, man, I've been nice and cozy at the house with the snow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, similar to you, man, Wednesday afternoon came around and I was seeing the snow do its thing for about an hour. And I was like, it's not sticking. And then I'm like, okay, yeah, it's sticking. And I had flashbacks to 2017 because I worked downtown at that time. And it was the same situation. It started snowing in the middle of the day while everyone is at work and at school. And then all hell broke loose. And so at 2 o'clock, 2:15, I was like, I think I see where this is going.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to be safe and I'm getting out of here. Because, yeah, same. I'm out in Newburgh. That's on a good day. That's 45 minutes. It took me on a Sunday morning driving in today like 40 minutes-ish.
Mm-hmm.
So on a snow, like
7 hours.
Snow apocalypse. Yeah, I wouldn't even get home. Maybe,
man. There are so many people that just abandon
their
cars.
Hate to say it, but I don't think the Corolla is making it.
Oh man, probably might have a few issues, but there are a lot of people that just, you know, left their cars on the side of the road and decided to walk or, you know, whatever. Oh, just imagine how slow in traffic you have to be going to say, man, screw this car. I'm gonna walk the next 3 miles home in the snow.
Man, it was. That was complete Thunderdome. I mean, I'm just going over my my Twitter timeline because I was throwing out some things over there. There was one picture from I-5 North over by, like, Barber Boulevard and Landmark Ford, right over by the big Mormon church over by there.
Right.
There was a point where I'm literally looking at the picture 30 to 40 semi trucks in a quarter mile block of I-5 North is all crammed together trying to get up that hill to then get into the Barber Boulevard curves, which, yeah, good luck with that. That's not going to happen in that weather. Just pure chaos everywhere. So I got out of here at 2:15, Rashad, and I was trying to hit 20 or 405, and I had just avoided by the time 26 West turned into a madhouse. Like, I got out of here. Jeff Russ left, I think, 45 minutes, an hour after I did, and it took him hours to get home.
Yeah.
And for me, it took 45 minutes. So I made, like, I barely made the right decision on Wednesday.
My son's mom said it took her about 5 hours to get home from North Portland. I was like, yep, that's where I left. And so shout out to all the managers that have had no problem and supervisors just saying, man, y'all get out of here. We'll figure it out. You know, we want people to be safe. And a big screw you to all the managers that was like, nope, we have to stay until we're closed and make sure that, yeah, because you probably didn't let people get home until 2 in the morning.
I made the executive decision, too, Wednesday night. I was, because we have the hot corner on Wednesday nights, 7 to 9 on 1080 The Fan.
Probably going
to
cancel it.
I was taking a peek, and I ended up calling Jeff Sacramento and Patrick Harris, and I'm like, listen, I think this is a – I think I'm going to have to make the executive decision here that we cancel the show tonight. And boy, am I glad we did.
No, seriously. Otherwise,
driving home at 9:30 in Portland at that time. Dude, no way.
No, it wouldn't have been. Like I said, y'all would have been doing the show from Instagram because there's no way that I was doing that. So hopefully everybody was safe.
Yeah, I mean,
hopefully everybody had time to.
And let's be real. Like, for the people that didn't make it safe, like, I'm sorry, because that is probably a very stressful situation.
100%.
Where you don't know what to do. I mean, like, you're stuck, you're spinning. And
who can come and get you
exactly.
At that time?
And that's, I mean, I saw a picture of some kids having to walk down 26 because the bus broke down. And a couple of the kids are in basketball shorts, of course. And it's just like, bro, like, again, seeing that stuff is just, it was really disappointing. And that, I had to keep that in check where I'm like, you know, making jokes over here about, like, the weather and how it's all going down. But there are some people that literally had, like, the worst nights of their lives.
Absolutely.
And then this, too, like, you come to find out people, and you would come to expect this with Portland, but they leave their cars and then they come back in a day or two, tires gone, broken into, stuff's gone, windows smashed. It sucks.
No, it definitely does, man. So, but I want to give a shout out to the people, the Good Samaritans, that saw people stuck and that have
gave them a push.
Absolutely. Or, you know, did see those kids walking in shorts and say, hey, man, which way are you guys going? I'll give you a ride to this place. Maybe you can have your parents come pick you up from, you know, X spot or something like that. There was a lot of that. I saw a story about a gentleman who was just going around giving rides to people.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know? I was like, I feel inclined now to get snow tires just for this one situation every, like, 6 years where it's just like, I'm going to go be a hero.
It's starting to be more often. Remember, this happened.
This is 2017 is when we got that. I mean, and that wasn't even that much snow. I mean, this was record snow.
Last year, right before Christmas or right after Christmas, I know this because this is the time I got COVID, and I also had to catch the max all the way to Hillsboro to do the Les Schwab, and that's when we had that other snow, and it was tough for people to move there, and cars were left on the side of the road. So this is starting to become kind of normal practice for snow to come right around February or March. It snowed during spring break one year. I think, was that 2017?
Can't remember.
So this is starting to become more and more the norm.
Hey, big snow guy over here. I'm bullish on snow.
I'm black, bro. I don't like the snow.
I love the snow.
Go ahead. I don't like the snow.
I love it until it F's with my plans in my car. And
that's exactly what the
snow.
Like, if you think the rain screws up your plans here in Portland, like, we're still going to drive in the rain. Girls are probably still going to get cute for the rain and stuff like that. Man, the snow comes, I'm not driving anywhere, and I'm definitely not trying to look super cute when I'm anywhere because it's freezing out here.
I'm not trying to look super cute either.
I'm always trying to look super cute, Joe.
I know, me too. Hours in the mirror. Yeah. Text line, if you don't know it by now, 503-864-6326. That's 8646-FAN. And you can text in. Someone texting in already saying, just called XFL Sunday. Dear God.
What is some tremendous games those were yesterday, yeah?
Go Sea Dragons, I guess. Is that what they are? The Seattle Sea Dragons?
I think so. That's stupid. It's a stupid name.
Hey, I mean, I somewhat like the idea of a dragon as a mascot.
Call them the Dragons, then. What's wrong with just the word dragons?
Because they are a sea dragon. There's the sea right over there, the sound and everything, and that's where it lives.
That's stupid.
It's a monster of the depths of the Puget Sound. But just like the snow ruined the Portland area over the last few days, I wanted to get a little real today because I feel like money has somewhat ruined sports over the last few years.
You think so?
Yeah, you think? But I wanted to throw out a few examples that I've seen over the last, like, week that have pointed to this. And I want to kind of treat this as a let's be real for a day, because then next week is our first March show. Hope springs eternal. You know, the flowers start blooming. We see the cherry blossoms. I would say the optimism starts to go up. And then we can start just talking about sports. What's happening? It's hard to do that, though, when the Blazers are the Blazers. They're playing tonight, by the way, against Houston. But we got plenty to talk about today. I kind of want to hit all levels of sports with some current things that are happening in the NFL, NBA, MLB. And how it's just kind of like gave me a bad taste about sports. And again, I've got a few different examples from what's happened in the last week of sports to kind of point to that. Text just coming in. The only thing sadder than this snow story is the last 30 years of the Blazers being ass. Yeah, I mean, that's
30 years. It's so frustrating.
I mean, I'm 31, so I came into this beautiful earth of ours in 1992, which was basically their peak. I mean, them going to the Western or to the NBA Finals for the last time.
The fact that you were born in 92 is just
makes you throw up
so
in your mouth
fun
a little
to
bit.
Me. Yeah, it's so much fun to me.
Yeah. So, yeah, Blazers definitely have been, to quote this text line, ass for the last 30 years. And we will get to that probably at some point later in the show as well. But, again, text in 503-864-6326 or hit us up on the socials at JoeFish3, F-I-S-C-H, or Rashad Taylor is at TaylorMade503. So, money, it's obviously very heavy-handed in sports, and I want to get into one aspect, and that is the NBA, because there's a few examples that have shown itself throughout the last week and might be something that's going to bite them in the rear end in the future. So we'll get to that next here on Sports Sunday on 1080 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Football Sunday, Rashad and Joe on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
That's right. Get what?
G-Unit?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, right? It's a great beat. I mean, Lloyd Banks, Young Buck.
Trash, and I'm saying Lloyd Banks was trash. Young Buck was cool.
Thank you.
Young Buck was dope.
But
Lloyd Banks was trash.
I had a Young Buck album in like 2010 or 11 that was in the playlist quite a lot, and I came across it the other day. It was funny.
That Shorty Wanna Ride is like, oh, that's a cut.
Yeah,
that's a great record.
Shocker, 50 Cent did him dirty and he has no money left. Mayor of Cashville, is that what it was? Young Buck,
I think so. Yeah.
All right, to the NBA, the Blazers, they played this week. They lost to the Kings, but they played without Damian Lillard and Jeremy Grant. They sat out the game. They were resting because of their performance on their music video that they had on the plane. I don't know if you saw that, Rashad. But
absolutely. It's the best thing that the Blazers have done in the past year.
I love the baklava that Jeremy Grant's rocking. But Jeremy Grant and Damian Lillard sit out the first game after All-Star break. And it's a flight to Sacramento, so it's not like they're going to Orlando here. And I understand that they were on the tarmac for like hours, which, you know, welcome to life. But those guys sit out. Now, the old report has come out from Sean Hyken that Lillard, and I said in my update, Lillard and Chauncey Billups basically said, they're like, yeah, that was a one-time thing. That ain't happening going forward. We're playing the rest of the season. But this is one of the many reasons I have in a, I don't know how many parts we're going to get to today, 3, 4, 5 part series of money ruining the NBA, because we've seen this time and time again over the last few years, and we know how bad it's getting about load management and dudes taking time off for the smallest things. And you could just look into the fact that, hey, these contracts are so big and there's so much money invested in these players that they want to take every precaution possible to sit out a game if they have the slightest of injuries. So it's just a catch-22 of, well, I don't want to play because I want to make sure I can play 100% at another time. But as we've seen over the years, I mean, like, I'm looking at the Clippers right now because of their game they had against the Kings the other night. We'll get to that as well. But they've been the microcosm of the NBA with this, with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. One of my favorite teams when they first got together, but now I don't ever watch them because I don't ever know if they're going to actually play together. And if they're both going to be on the floor, if Kawhi's playing, then it's just, it's one of the very, one of the many things that have been giving me a bad taste about sports. And the NBA, especially with the All-Star game ratings, like, it's just, they have kind of an identity crisis on their hands as a, as an entirety.
Which is super strange because they have more young stars now in the NBA than they've ever had. Right.
You know, well, I mean, there's definitely been a changing of guard from the old to the new. So, I mean, that's the refreshing thing, is that there's a lot of great players, but it hasn't translated to just the general public. And to me, the NBA,
I just think, honestly, the All-Star Gaming in Utah, honoring Karl Malone, you know, there's a lot that happened in that All-Star weekend that was like, Matt McClung, you know, winning the dunk contest is probably the highlight. Dame winning the three-point contest, okay. But the picking of the All-Star teams prior to the game was kind of corny. It was as corny as I figured it would be, you know, prior to that point. You see the not having, and this is one thing I was saying, you know, as far as not having teams picked prior to the game, like teams can work on plays or, you know, something like that. And so what you saw is a bunch of dudes just shooting jumpers. Nobody's playing through defense. Nobody's doing anything. Everybody's just shooting jumpers. Nobody. It was really like a not even a park pickup game, because in pickup at the park, you're trying to win, right? Like if I'm on your team, Joe, and you're on mine or whatever, we're both trying to win that game. And here was the bunch of guys that didn't really have a place necessarily. And not saying have a place in the All-Star game, but they didn't really have roles or anything like that. So it was pretty much everybody go out there and shoot. And you know it's a crap game when the main matchup everybody's talking about seeing is Jason Tatum versus Jason Tatum's teammate. Well, I'm
Jaylen Brown.
Oh my gosh, man, Jaylen Brown.
There you go.
Yeah, it happens from time to time. It's it happens when you get old too. But no, that's the premier matchup of the All-Star game. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's cool and it's a. You know, they're both great players. Jason Tatum's a great young player. I think Jaylen Brown is really, really, really good. You know, but it just lacked a lot of, I don't want to say star power, because I think that star power is there, because Luka's a star. And regardless of how you say it, I mean, Kyrie is a star, you know. And so you had a lot of guys on the floor that are good enough, but it just wasn't fun. Like, this was the least fun All-Star game that I've ever seen in my life. Ever seen in my life.
Well, you saw Mike Malone for the Nuggets as well. He was not happy after the game. I mean, like, he didn't care, but he just said that was the worst basketball he's ever seen play. And again, just to go back on the Blazers, man, I honestly think it's a bad look on the team I don't know, maybe I'm looking into the, oh man, they were on a plane for how many hours, too much, and yeah, I can understand why that would be annoying, but all the other players played. I mean, we had a text on the text line saying, like, would Clyde Drexler have sat out a game from a road game because he was tired from a 7-hour snow delay?
And also, played in a week?
Yeah.
We haven't played in 9 days, so there's no point. And either of us resting. Like, to my knowledge, I haven't heard of Jeremy Grant being too banged up. I know he's missed some games, but I haven't heard of him being too banged up. But then Dame, this is the time that I think Blazer fans are looking for the team to make that turn. All right? you know, you figure out exactly what everybody's role is, man. Let Ant go to just like a primary scoring role and take the, I think the issue is when Anthony Simons isn't scoring, he's not giving you much else. And so I think that's what, you know, if he's on point with scoring, I think fans are fine with that. But you're at this point in the year to where nothing's worked. I think Blazer fans are starting to become a little more nervous that Jeremy Grant may not stick around. We hear there are reports that he might want to go back to Detroit and, you know, try his hand there with, you know, some of the talent they've acquired. But I don't know, man. I'm disappointed because after nine days off, this is when we expect you to come out and get a big win. You're refreshed. You're rested. Let's come out there against a really good Sacramento team. Like, this Kings team isn't a team that you take days off against, right? Like, right now, this isn't Kings of old. Like, this is a top 5-6 team in the West at this point. Like, why are you taking this game off? And considering the gap between, like, 11 and 6, there's no way that you should be taking games off. You're in full tank mode right now. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care how Chauncey tries to dress it up and say, oh, we're not tanking.
They literally said yesterday at practice that Sacramento game was a one-time thing, bro, and they are not doing that the rest of the year.
You do that against a team that is not in the playoff hunt. You're doing this against teams that you're not really minding. Of course, they see Sacramento 3-4 times a year, but Sacramento's also winning. So you want to rest your players against a team that you know is a bottom feeder at this point. You rest them against two all-stars that played. What are you doing? So I think the tank is on. The Blazers want Victor, you know, Wembanyama.
I believe.
You know what I'm saying? You know what? We're having a hard time saying his name now, but if he's good, we're going to remember real quick. Remember Giannis Antetokounmpo? No, he'll never be a star because we can't say his name. We all know his name.
We'll get
now.
The pronunciation right.
Yeah, we all know his name now. So it's one of those things. So that's what you got to do. He comes in and kills. People will learn his name real quick. But if you're feel like you're in a running for them, when has it ever worked out for the Blazers tanking and they got the number one pick? Ever. They tried to tank last year and had the number five pick and still chipped that and ended up with nothing. So,
well, I mean, I wouldn't call Shaedon Sharpe nothing.
Are you going to call him something now?
You're just going to disregard Shaedon Sharpe as if he isn't anything at all to the Blazers team?
I'm asking right now, is Shaedon Sharpe...
They got nothing?
I'm asking right now, is Shaedon Sharpe helping the Blazers win?
No.
Right now, I'm talking.
You're changing exactly.
No, I'm not at all. Because again, instead
you just
of
said the Blazers got nothing, and I'm telling you that we got.
They were supposed to get the fifth and seventh pick. Yes, that's
so a 19-year-old guy that can jump out of the gym with the highest vertical in NBA combine history is nothing. Because he's 19 and a rookie?
I didn't say it's nothing.
They got the fifth pick, and they actually got the seventh. But that's
If you'd have got that fifth pick, you packaged that fifth and seventh
pick
for potentially
something else. And then they took that other pick that they had and turned it into Jeremy Grant. Like, again, the whole idea of like, oh, well, they did all this and look where they're at.
Look where they're at,
Joe. Take it, blow it up. It's done. It's like, dude, do you realize how hard it is to build a team in the NBA?
Look where you are right now.
Like, did the Bucks get to where they were with Giannis in year one?
Has Shaedon Sharpe helped this team win this year? Yes or no?
He's had moments to help them win games, yes.
Are they winning games, Joe?
They've won 28 games this year.
How many have they played?
They're at 59.
Okay, and they've won 28 of them.
If you're saying that Shaedon Sharpe hasn't done anything for this team,
I'm not saying he hasn't done anything for
nothing,
this team. I'm saying at this point, Shaedon Sharpe being on this team has not equated to any additional Blazer wins. How many wins last year before Shaedon Sharpe got there?
You can't say.
I'm asking. I mean, I don't know. I'm not looking.
So you're equating.
I don't even have a functional computer in front of me, so I don't know. I can't even look this stuff up.
You cannot be serious right now. You are equating everything from last year's team to this year's. Like, well, Shaedon Sharpe didn't make this team better, so that's his fault.
Dame hasn't made the team better this year either, unfortunately. Like,
so again,
I'm not putting this all on Shaedon Sharpe. What I'm saying is, this was supposed to be an impact rookie to come in, and so far that hasn't been the case.
I thought we were going to be talking about how players don't want to play. And now we're just talking about how players aren't anything at all and have no relevance.
That's definitely not what I'm saying. Forgive me, Shaedon. I'm not saying that you have no relevance. I'm saying at this point, Shaedon Sharpe has not helped the Blazers, not equated to any wins.
And at this point, don't play Jeremy Grant, because I want Shaedon Sharpe to play more, because I want him to be thrown to the fire, because I don't want him to be nothing. So, I want him to be a seventh overall pick that's getting 20 points a game, that jumps out of the gym. Rashad, I watched a four-minute highlight video of all his dunks this year. Like, yeah, I understand right now, is he getting the Blazers into the fifth, fourth? No, because that's not what a 19-year-old rookie is going to do. Like, if you're putting those expectations on him right away, then I got news for you. That's not what happens with a lot of rookies. Even LeBron James didn't do that in his first year. So, again, when you have guys like Lillard and Jeremy Grant taking time off and showing that that is the norm, that's what I worry about. Shaedon Sharpe, if he starts doing that in his career too, like, I just don't like that at all with this Blazers team right now. Especially if you're trying to say that you're trying to win, I'm with you. I want to tank. I want to blow it up. But I just know that's not going to happen this year because of what they just said. Like, they just put their money where their mouth is, right? They said, all right, no, one-time thing. We're not doing that. We're not doing that going forward. So that's why, again, another text, Kersey, Uncle Cliffy, two-time NBA All-Star Kevin Duckworth, we're all second-round picks. Again, team building, dude. Like, it's clear that they are not going to win anything this year, so blow it up and build the team for next year. And if
isn't that what they were doing this year, though?
Yeah.
Isn't that why you get rid of CJ McCollum? Isn't that what the plan was for this year?
Hey, it would have been dope to go from one of the worst teams in the NBA to an NBA championship team this year, but that's just not how it goes.
Well, I'm not saying you have to do that, but when you look at Sacramento, and when you look at all the teams that have always been historically just underneath the Blazers for the most part.
So we got a break, but if you want to look at Sacramento, what have they been doing the last 10, 15 years?
Making great trades to get
rid of. They sucked!
They've made the right moves to make sure they got the right players in there so their team can start winning. They've got two all-stars.
They got Sabonis last year.
They did, because they made a big trade for Tyrese Halliburton, and what do you know? Halliburton's an all-star over there. You make trades with teams that actually have the assets that you need, and they have assets, and you have assets that they need. That's the way that works. Instead, the Blazers keep trading for second-round draft picks. They mentioned Kersey and all those guys.
But Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, Jeremy Grant. Cronin, hey man, shout out to you for that one, because you got him for peanuts for the most part. But Jeremy Grant is who you need to be trying to take hold of and try to make sure you can do everything to keep him as a Blazer, because
As long as he's playing.
As long as he's playing. But you know, when he's playing, he's on.
All right, we're way up against it. We got a break. With that, I wanted to talk about that Clippers and Kings game, because that game was like 175-176, which again is just like, dear God, man, the NBA is it's going through some things right now, which on paper that sounds cool, 170 points. But again, I think it's a microcosm of problems that are facing the NBA. So we will get to that next. But first, I got a Sports Center update for you.
Football Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
That's right, Football Sunday. Get with it or get lost. Man, damn those Blazers, Rashad. That was supposed to be a moment where we're talking about why the players are the problem and missing games and how it's making the NBA worse and worse. And then you got the Blazers having us yelling at each other. I blame them.
This is what they do. They cause, rifts between friends. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how many friends I've went through arguing about the Blazers. And then people think that I hate the Blazers or hate the team. There were some texters for a long time who were like, oh, you hate the Blazers. No, I don't. I'm not hating on my team. I just want the best for them.
Hey,
and we haven't gotten that.
Evidence that Rashad does not hate the Blazers. His NBA 2K player is on the Blazers.
Yeah, they always play for the Blazers. Like, that's every, unless, I can play with Milwaukee, because Giannis, if you're a point guard.
Oh, my God.
No, if you're a point guard, Giannis is going to get you buckets, and it's all about getting assists.
He's a cheat code. That's not.
He is, but that's why I played with them once, and it was great. However, it's always the Blazers, and guess what?
You got the title with them, and then you bailed.
It's a struggle at first with the Blazers when you get on that team. It's a struggle at first until your dude becomes a 95. And unless the Blazers are going to get MP, unless they're going to be able to find that guy somewhere, then it's probably going to remain a struggle for a while.
To the NBA's credit, there were some decent games this week. Last night, you had a pretty solid game between 76ers and the Celtics. I also caught the 76ers and Grizzlies earlier this week, which was a pretty solid one. Then you had a game that set records earlier this week, which was the Kings and Clippers, 176 to 175. 86 three-pointers were shot in the game. Dear God. I don't want to dive into it too much because we're up against it, but is that like, one, if I would have known that, again, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are playing regularly, then I would have tuned in. But is that a good thing that that happened for the NBA?
No, it's terrible. And it goes to back to that notion that, you know, guys like Steph and Clay and all the three-point shooters ruined the NBA. Like, we're at a point to where people look at the mid-range shot as a bad shot and something you shouldn't take. If you're not getting dunks and layups, you should be getting three-pointers. And, like, that's kind of killed basketball, you know, for a lot of people because you've taken away a really, really important part of the game. And you ask why guys like Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, DeMar DeRozan, you know, are able, CJ McCollum, are able to be such effective players because they've mastered the mid-range game because nobody else really wants to. Everybody wants to pull up for three. And you look at that All-Star game, it was crap. And the reason it was crap is because you got a bunch of dudes shooting. Dame shot a half-court three-point shot. Granted, it went in.
I mean, that was kind of cool.
It was kind of dope, but at the same time, it was like, man, dudes are really pulling up from – these are shots that they're practicing. Right? When they're working out, when they're trying to perfect their game and they're work, you know, kind of working out all the kinks, these guys are taking 40-foot jumpers. Crazy, right? And so, yeah, that's for them, for teams, two teams to equate, you said 86 three-pointers?
Yeah, 86.
That's insane. There, in some games, there aren't 86 shots taken.
Now, you know? granted, Rashad, that isn't probably the worst display of not worse, but just the amount of three-pointers taken in the game. I was watching Pitt-Syracuse yesterday, and Pitt shot, I think, 39 three-pointers in regulation. They did, that was 86 in double overtime, whereas Pitt shot 39 in 40 minutes. So in essentially, 18 minutes left, or 18 minutes less of game time, Pitt shot 39 three-pointers. That is ridiculous.
How does that happen? And so, I'm not sure. And if this is teams' game plan, just guard the three, like they're making it incredibly easy for teams to guard them. You know, the scouting report is they're going to pull up for three every time. And there's some teams you can't stop. You know what Golden State plans to do. But also, one thing that Steph does, he gets a lot of buckets at the rim. You know, not just, and he gets a lot of mid-range buckets. Does take a lot of three-pointers, obviously, but he kind of spreads it around all over the place. And there's how many middies does Dame actually take?
Well, again, this is where this is the future of the league is. They've done the math, man. It's like there's no point in you taking that shot at that range when you can take that shot 3 feet deeper because you have basically the same chance of making it, and you can get one extra point doing that. So, I mean,
that's everyone's logic.
Yep.
Everyone that's not Damian Lillard has that logic. And I can understand Dame doing that because Dame has an amazing jump shot. One of the greatest that we've ever seen in NBA history.
I mean, you've definitely seen Dame hit middies.
No, he does, but CJ was the middy magician. Yeah. You know, he was the one that could also pull up for three and stuff like that. But Dame is a three-point specialist. That's kind of what he does. We can also hit that, but when you have the skill set of Damian Lillard, that makes sense. I don't think every guard in the NBA has a Damian Lillard skill set.
Man, I think the NBA is just at a weird point, and I think it's bad timing because they have their CBA at the end of not this year, but next season. And I think we're going to be looking at like lockout territory because just the way that the players have...
CJ, this is on you.
Yeah, good luck.
It's on you, CJ. You want to be pressed, right?
Good luck. I don't know. Just the way that the last half decade has transpired in the league with players' relationships and the power that they've gotten versus owners and, again, the load management and the been talks of making the season smaller. And if the league tries to say, no, we're staying at 82, like, what's going to happen there? Like, All-Star game, there was a graph the other day that showed the All-Star Game ratings over the years, and basically right after they started doing the draft instead of East-West, the ratings started to plummet, and they tanked.
And because no one cares, you know, about, like, East-West was at least cool because
there's my geographical pride.
I'm a Western Conference guy, so I get to root for the guys that I see that we play against all the time and stuff. Like, yeah, okay, that's much different. Which conference is better? Now it's just like a big pickup game, and there's no, I don't know. I don't like it. I wish they would go back to East-West, but they feel like there's money to be made. But NBA doesn't care about ratings and how things look. They're just going to keep doing things their way.
Yeah. Well, they're going to have to, like I said, make some changes. It's going to be really, really interesting. They've already had like two deadlines extended on CBA talks that it's getting to the point where it's like they're trying to put it off as long as possible, and for a good reason. Like, they're kind of like, it's you know, it's like when you have that one problem with the house and you just know, like, I don't want to deal with that. That's going to cost money. I'm just going to put that off for now. And then it's going to be a problem later, and you're going to have to pay for it more and more. It's like the leak in the roof or the water heater that you need to replace. I think that was a Sopranos episode. The water heater didn't get replaced in time, and then it blew up and it ruined all the FBI's wiretap equipment. That's what's happening. You're letting the water heater too long in the house. It's time to replace it, but they're not going to. It's going to be ugly. Next, I want to talk about something I saw yesterday, Rashad, because I know how much you love baseball, and so I figured that we'd spend a huge amount of time on it.
Yes. Let's go.
But there are new rules in the MLB this year, and there was one on display. Shout out to Danny Moran, actually. I saw him retweet this. It's the pitch clock, and I had some feelings about it initially, and now I've kind of swayed on how I feel about the pitch clock and the MLB and some of these rule changes, because, again, it goes back to our theme of the day, how money has somewhat ruined sports. So we will get to that next here on Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Football Sunday on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
For the last time, if our producer could get his S together and create a new open, should probably happen next week. I throw in the word probably. Notice something in baseball yesterday. You can go to either 1080 The Fan own Danny Moran's Twitter page to find it, and or at @talkingbaseball_ on Twitter. Or you can just watch baseball and you can see the pitch clock, and it has been implemented in spring training. The pitch clock is 15 seconds. A pitcher has 15 seconds to deliver the ball with the bases empty, or 20 seconds with the bases occupied.
The 20 seconds. Okay.
A hitter must be in the box and facing the pitcher with no less than 8 seconds. If a batter is not in the box with less than 8 seconds, it will be a strike. And there's also a rule that you can't throw a warm-up pitch within the last 30 seconds between innings. And if you do, you get a ball. So, like, a pitcher was warming up, and there was 30 seconds left before the inning started, threw a pitch, and he got called for a ball. So the at-bat started 1-0. So, yeah. I bring this up because if you take a look, if you've watched any of the baseball or just see that one at bat, you can see it is immensely faster. Like, it is, the pace is much quicker. The at bat, it just kind of breezes right through it. It's like pitch, bam, there it is. All right, they're getting ready. Like, they're getting ready for the next one right away. So initially my thoughts were, I'm like, hey, I was locked in on that bat. Like, I couldn't look away because I knew the next pitch was coming so quick, and that's solving the problem, right? Like, baseball's too long. The time in between pitches, it can take a minute and a half, and then a guy calls time, and it takes 2 minutes. So it's easy to just get boring really quick, right? And that's been the problem with MLB as a TV product, not as a game, as a TV product. And so seeing that pitch clock was shot at first, I was like, this is all right, this is sweet. Then I started thinking about situations. Like, all right, is this doing anything to a pitcher's arm where instead of having those 30-second to a minute-long break in between pitches, you now are firing off 90 mile per hour, 70, doing whatever, flicking it, trying to get the curve? You're doing that every 15 seconds, and it, like, is that going to affect them more? And then also, how terrible would it be if we're in the World Series, 3-2 count, base is loaded, team is down 5-4, and then the batter isn't in the box fast enough, and so they call him strike, and that's strike three, and that's the end of the game, and the other team wins. Like, when you put that scenario out there, that's when I start to think, I don't like this. Like, I'm starting to, like, quickly already change my mind on the pitch clock.
No, it's...
Because, again, it's like, at first you're like, dude, yeah, I was locked in right there. And then I'm just like, well, yeah, in a spring training game where nothing matters, like...
So I think I have to...
A little bit different.
I think I should probably let MLB and baseball fan in on a secret. If you're not a baseball fan...
You ain't gonna watch baseball.
Unfortunately, the pitch clock doesn't help.
It's not going to see.
It's not going, and that's the messed up part. Like, I'm not going to watch baseball more because they've decided to change
to
add a pitch clock. Yeah, that's not why. That's I don't think that's necessarily the issue.
Have you given it a try though, Rashawn?
No, you're right, and I haven't given it a try, and so I will. You know, because I don't want to say it's not going to, but I think most people that don't really follow baseball or care for baseball like that aren't really going to care, because it's not just the game is long, yes. The season is even longer. And you're talking 182 games? 162 games.
162.
162 games.
Dear God, any more than that.
I know, that's even still, 162 games is insane.
It's
that's a lot of baseball.
It's a big number, that's for sure.
For through how many months? Baseball season is what, 6 months?
You start end of March, early April, and you go through end of September.
Sometimes double headers. Sometimes, baseball is as a season.
The money's pretty good.
Nine innings, sometimes more. Like, you can be talking about sometimes 14, 15 innings.
Well, and speaking of the extra inning, they have implemented it and, like, made it official, the extra inning rule with a guy starting on second base. Like, they have made that ain't changing, that ain't going anywhere. That's the new rule.
I mean,
and that's to shorten games and, again, appeal to the TV audience and the fan. I don't want to watch 5-hour baseball games.
And here's the thing. As just like a casual fan, I will go to the game and stay for all 14 innings.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
As a casual fan, I'm not going
to... I paid for that ticket, all right?
As a casual fan, I'm not going to sit at home and watch 14 innings on TV. It's just kind of one of those things. So if you weren't a baseball fan before, adding a pitch count is not going to, bring you, back to the ballpark. However, what I will say about the pitch count is I think it can be potentially dangerous. You're talking about a lot of pitchers that... we talked about it before the show, like every 30 seconds, every 20-something seconds, they're throwing another fastball.
15 seconds for nobody on base, 20 seconds for bases, someone on first, second, third, whatever. But
like, no time to, pitchers getting kind of work their arm out one time before
baseball
they get
ready is a to huge
like,
comfort game, man.
Absolutely. And that's the one thing, like, for the non-baseball fan, I understand that. But for you, the Patrick Harris's, of the world who absolutely love baseball, man, it's a chess game. It's a chess match. So it's more than just getting and throwing the ball, man. It's staring down the batter and kind of getting into their head and, just making sure that you're getting ready to throw whatever pitch that you're ready. Like, you're taking away a lot of that prep time for people. And so now you're talking about pitchers throwing, and Tommy John is already a huge issue, in baseball. So now pitchers are throwing every 15 to 20 seconds. That sounds like it's not in the best interest of the pitchers.
Right. That was what I was thinking of this morning. I was just like, man, if they're already throwing their arms out doing this and they're having breaks that long in between pitches, like, and now we're expediting that process. We all know that throwing a baseball at 90 something miles per hour, your arm isn't supposed to do that.
Did they consult any pitchers? And that's another thing. Did they talk to any pitching coaches or any managers and say, hey, man, like, would it be feasible to say, hey, what's a good time? Is 15 seconds enough time? Is 20 seconds?
Did they
seconds?
Do I'm a curious. Focus group?
No, I mean, those things are important. It sounds weird, but those things are important to
kinda
see.
Kind of sounds like baseball just kind of does what they want.
And just makes everybody deal with it. And so, again, if you're a manager and you have a starting ace.
I say baseball,
or
MLB.
Ace, or a great closer or whatever the case is. Like, yeah, man, like, I'd want to know that you're asking my guy to throw every 20 seconds? I don't know about that.
Not crazy about that. Yeah. Here's a quote. This all ended on this. This is just from kind of like a strategic standpoint and seeing how this is going to play out throughout the year. But Josh Harrison for the Philadelphia Phillies, he said concerning the pitch clock, it was very fast. My first at bat, the two first pitches were very fast. I took the first, swung at the second, and was like, man, that pitch was kind of quick. I even called time before the next pitch. And you only get one chance to call time during your at bat. So I got two strikes the first two pitches, so let me call time to try and slow it down a little bit. And then he goes on to say that pitchers have a lot of control at the time. There were a couple pitches here where it felt like the ball was held, so you've got to choose your one timeout wisely. And then he goes on to say that I think it's going to be an adjustment for a lot of us because there's still a lot of gray area situations, like fouling a ball off of the catcher's mask. If you have a long foul ball that's deep to right field, like, does the clock start as soon as the ball hits the, you know, out of bounds territory where the fans are? Again, there's just kind of it's going to be an interesting process. And I don't know, like, at first, again, I was locked in on that one at bat that I saw on a Twitter video for 15, 20 seconds, whatever it was. But will that be something that, again, according to you, it's not going to sway you, it's not going to change you and your baseball viewing habits? And this is where I kind of go back to the whole, like, money is the almighty ruler here, is that what are they doing this for? Like, they're doing this. This isn't a problem with the game of baseball, right? Like, the game of baseball,
it's fine.
It's fine as it is. Yeah. This is the MLB saying, how do we get more people to watch our sport? It's like, how about we just cater it to the people that already do?
Bingo.
Like,
you think NASCAR is trying to figure out, man, how do we get more blacks to watch us on a week-to-week basis? No, they don't care. They've got a great following of people that want to come every single week again, and watch a race. So
it's
cater to the people that want to be there. Yeah, it's like that's one of those things. And then
it goes back to, like, why are they doing this? Well, they want to make their product more engaging so more people will watch it. Well, why do you want more people to watch it? To grow the game, or do you just want more money and more advertising dollars?
There, you know what it is. In a sport that's giving out damn near billion-dollar contracts, over $1 billion, I mean, quarter-billion-dollar contracts, like, yeah, I guess they're looking for more ways to draw more eyes. But if you just want to draw more eyes, man, fix the things that you know are already poor, man. Your All-Star game, maybe put it on a weekend. Maybe put it on a day that everybody can watch it.
Good point.
Like, mind you, I will watch the All-Star game or the Home Run Derby. The only thing is I can't rush home from work at 3 o'clock to make sure I get there on time. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So I would love to see the Home Run Derby. I would love to see your All-Star game. And especially when you were making it like, oh, whoever wins gets home field advantage. And remember that part? You win the All-Star game, you get home field advantage in the World Series. Like, what are you talking about? A team that's not even in the hunt is going to determine whether or not we get home field during the World Series. So, I don't know, man. Baseball's always been a very weird sport, you know, to me, because they just haven't been able to market their stars. And I feel like there's ways that they can make the money they're looking for. They're just going about it wrong. And I honestly think them changing, making the game faster only takes away from the chess match that actually is baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, we'll definitely be talking about this on.
So wait, so how does this work with trying to throw someone out at first? So you got somebody trying to steal the base. Does me trying to throw them out, does that go into
the rule, pitch count? Yeah, you can only try to pick a player off so many times now. So they've incorporated that. Oh, I forget what the number is, but yeah. I can tell Rashad will be tuning
this
in on opening
terrible.
Day.
Oh, this is so bad.
Yeah, like, it's. I'm not
curious
exactly
of which
crazy
baseball
over.
Fan is like, oh man, I love these changes. I think this is going to be good.
I mean, hey, we got someone on the text line. Ken in Salem, he said, I watched a little of the Mariners preseason game yesterday to check out the time clock. I liked it, but think they could add 5 seconds and it would feel less rushed, but happy to see more action and less posturing, which I could, I mean, to Ken's point is that they do that a lot. It's a lot of step off the mound, lick my fingers, look over, you know, get a little dirt in my hands, look at the signal, I don't like it, oh, batter calls timeout, step off again, and then you get the signal, and there comes the pitch, and then you do it all over, and you've only had two pitches over 5 minutes.
I guarantee we are going to see the highest ERAs we have ever seen in baseball's history.
But again, as you saw Josh Harrison, and we got to go after this, but Josh Harrison, he said that he felt the pitchers had a little, he felt rushed as a batter. he felt uncomfortable. So maybe we got an even playing field in that rule. But again, why are they doing this? It ain't baseball's fault. It's MLB. They just want more money, want more people watching the game that don't care to watch it anyways. So moving into hour two, there's a lot going on in college football and college sports that I want to talk about.
Why don't you just stay in the driver's seat?
I got you. I got you. But you just relax. Kick your feet up. Hang them out the window, whatever you want. It's springtime almost, hopefully.
Not here.
Dear God, please soon. We will get to hour number two, Sports Sunday, here on 1080 The Fan.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% site-wide, plus free professional installation right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.